Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of, well, I guess it's the Thursday rundown, is brought to you by Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. College football season is right around the corner. The MLB season is in full swing right now, and then the NBA Finals will be coming up here in just a couple weeks. You got to get your flag to support your team, and the perfect place to do that is at Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. If you order online, you can get free shipping, Rob Gray, to get your Cyclone flag, maybe in your case a Chicago Cubs flag, or unfortunately a Boston Celtics flag, if you might be so inclined. Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com, the presenting sponsor of today's podcast. What's up, man? It's been a while.
It has been a while. I know you've exhausted all possibilities when you've drawn me out of hibernation for a podcast this time of year.
No, that's not true. I just wanted to do a podcast with you.
Okay.
We're back every week.
That's wonderful. And right in the wake of, you know, that I feel kind of bad for your Sixers because they're a really plucky team. I think I got out-coached.
We'll be back.
And you had a couple guys that kind of went into their own form of hibernation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they'll be back. I mean, it's kind of destiny lately to have a Celtics-Cavs Eastern Conference final, and I think it's going to be a great one. I really thought the Celtics-Sixers were going to go 7, especially after the Celtics went 7 with the Bucks. It's another team on the rise. It's going to be some interesting – the NBA's gotten a lot of fun. I know it never stopped being fun for you, but for – about a decade, there were kind of lost years for me where I was just like, you know, even when the Celtics were, even when they won with KG and Ray Allen and Pierce, that was fun. But the league just wasn't, you know, the rules were, you know, it just stuff wasn't happening. It's a lot of fun to watch just any game now. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Sixers will be back. Celtics aren't going anywhere.
We'll see you guys plenty in the future.
Indeed.
I believe that to be a fact. It's been an interesting day, or last 24 hours, I should say, around Cyclone Fanatic, following Chris Williams posting his off-the-record podcast with former Cyclone Royce White.
Indeed.
You said that you got a chance to listen to most of it.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of your impressions?
Well, Royce is who he's always been. Eloquent at times, bombastic at times, runs off on a tangent at times. But, you know, I wrote a long feature on him when I was at the Gazette covering the Cyclones, and I was just struck by how, you know it's a common term now, but woke he was about everything. And that's not using it in a politically charged sense. It's just the guy is an extremely deep thinker, and still is. I think sometimes he gets a little bit, I think he wears a lot of hats or masks, and I think you got a sense of that in Chris's podcast, which was freewheeling as it should have been, and very entertaining. And I know he got on the forums, and some people, you know, there were some interesting interactions, I guess we'll call them. But Royce has always been a firebrand. He'll always be a, you know, a lightning rod. Mm-hmm. To some degree. You know, I sure hope he keeps playing basketball. But you know, we'll see what happens there. There aren't a whole lot of guys like him, and like I said, I guess we'll, you know, stay tuned as far as his career goes there. But, you know, the dissing on some of the stars of the, you know, my son Derek's a big LeBron guy. So I don't like hearing anything going negative against Bron, even though, you know, well, my Celtics will be taking him on soon.
He was also very complimentary of LeBron. See, that's what was, I don't know how to put it. It wasn't really shocking, because I can't say I'm really shocked by anything that Royce said. But it was one of those things where you listen and you kind of just are, you, like, oh, he, okay, we're going to go there. And he called Chris Paul and LeBron James delusional at one point. He called LeBron a basketball miracle. He talked about how much better he is than Anthony Davis and Draymond Green. called Kevin Durant, I think, a basketball freak or something like that. He used some not very color or some rather colorful language to describe James Harden.
Yeah.
It just was. It was like one thing after another, you know. And then he goes on a tangent when he talks about people drinking alcohol at basketball games and drinking alcohol in front of their kids. And I can just tell, I was laughing because I was listening to it, and he goes on this whole thing, and then there's kind of a pause, and Chris is like, well, I can say I have never heard anybody ever put it that way before. And you just know that in that moment, he was just like, okay, well, how do I move on from here, you know?
Yeah.
And he did a good job because he did, like, right away, kind of just shifted gears. He's like, I'm going to try and not go that route, I think. You know, that might just be a thing best avoided at this point.
Yeah, Royce's whole life is a slam poetry session.
He uses so many big words for a basketball player.
Well, sometimes he inserts them, I think, just to insert them.
I knew we were in for a wild ride with when in like the first 15 minutes he drops some kind of line about time being like the biggest existential question of humanity or something like that, and I was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah,
so I guess this is how we're going.
Deep thinker, extremely bright guy. I feel like he always feels like he's got to prove something.
Yeah.
And look, like I said, when I sat down and interviewed him, struck again just by how there's a brilliance about him at times, but there's also I don't know what it is. There's a certain degree of self-absorption,
mm-hmm.
which I think is not uncommon at all. And the one thing I'll say, I mean, he's been very brave in how he's gone about, you know, raising the anxiety issue. And he's made a difference in that sense. One thing I didn't know is in that podcast, he mentioned some of his forebears, you know, in his family, some of the things that they did in dentistry and some other fields. And that was really interesting. I think Royce White is going to make an impact in this world for as long as he's on it. So I'm really glad that, you know, it all started with the Twitter interaction where Royce kind of came at Chris a little bit. Simply, I think Chris's words were some Royce White news.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you got other, there are sides to the story and all that. And Chris was like, I didn't say anything about it. I was just letting Cyclone fans know that there was something related to your career there.
I love how, I don't know if you got to this point of the podcast, but there comes like a point where Royce basically like offers himself up to Chris to do like a weekly podcast or like a semi-regular podcast. And I would love if we could do just like philosophical questions with Royce.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Just like the most wild, you know, human like society things, like mm-hmm. talk about time as a construct of human society and just like talk about that for half an hour with Royce and see where it gets him to go.
Yeah. Why it became important.
Yeah.
I mean, because there was obviously a long time in human history where time didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, you're just
time
going
in the
about
traditional
your
sense did not exist.
I mean,
yeah.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah.
That would be outstanding.
Man, I could go off on that kind of stuff. All right, Lindell Wigginton worked out for the Los Angeles Lakers yesterday out at the Lakers practice facility. Obviously, it's good to see him working out. Might scare some people, though, just to see him in Laker purple and gold.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing. I mean, he's taking advantage of everything he can do in this time. I'd be shocked. I don't know if, you know, if he's not back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you're at on that.
I still think he'll be back, but I think that I can see a route in which he doesn't come back. I can envision it, but I do think he will be back.
Yeah. What route?
Well, I mean, if somebody says, you know, don't go back, stay in the draft. We'll take you in the second round, and we'll sign you to a deal, you know.
Yeah. That's,
or sign you to a two-way or something.
Yeah, again, that's just a non-binding assurance, though. I mean, if something happens, he gets hurt, you know, he knows he's going to be able to play and mend and do stuff here. If that happens for those guys, well, then all bets are off. It's like, why
are we
going?
Well, if you're on a two-way, that's guaranteed to an extent.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not. He's not signing anything with these people, obviously.
If they're giving him some type of insurance.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But I hear you. I hear you. If he feels like it's more or less a guarantee, barring some sort of disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I think he would benefit greatly from another year of competing in again, very tough Big 12 conference and all that. But, you know, everyone has their reasons for what they do. Obviously, it would hurt Iowa State a lot if he didn't. I don't really see that as being an issue. I see him being back, getting better, turning into the first rounder that he should be, and, you know, going from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he'll be back, but I'm not I can't envision a scenario in which he does not come back.
I mean, even a scenario in which, you know, European teams, they're paying attention to this stuff. Some of those pay very well. And they're not the fly-by-night, you know, hey, close up shop in the middle of the season kind of thing. And they'd say, hey, if you make yourself available, come play for us. You're going to make this for this period of time and get a career started. I mean, obviously, you know, that's a possibility too. I just think for him, from my perspective, it would be best to come back and spend another year at Iowa State. But, we'll see on that.
Two guys we know for sure will be spending next year at Iowa State, Talen Horton-Tucker and George Condit, both getting an opportunity to represent their – well, I don't really know how to word that with George Condit because he's playing for Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I guess it represents their lineage.
From America.
Yeah, their family roots.
So I don't know if you would know this question, but since Puerto Rico is a territory of the United
Commonwealth,
States.
Commonwealth, yeah.
Yeah, territory, could someone from Puerto Rico, if they wanted to play for the United States, could they?
That's a good question. I don't see why not, just from a, you know, general standpoint, but maybe since they do have a quote-unquote national team, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I would think that if that's sort of a fallback kind of thing, right? Like you see some people who are born in the United States, maybe their parents were born in Serbia or excuse me, Croatia, and they end up playing on those teams or one of those teams. You know, that's kind of their fallback thing, right? Even though they're that's a good point. But either way, very, very, very nice honors for those guys, and obviously ways to get better. Even more.
I mean, I can't imagine that there's many many schools at Iowa State's level that have three guys in 2 years. I mean, we don't know that Talen Horton-Tucker's going to make that team.
Yeah.
But if he did, I mean, three guys in 2 years that are playing for their U18 national team.
Yeah.
That's usually something that I would think is Kentucky and Duke and Kansas and schools like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. Obviously, having Lindell do that with Canada and now Talen Horton-Tucker and George Condit. I mean, that's really excited about next season. I mean, it's such an unknown, and that's the most exciting thing about it because the ceiling's unlimited at this point.
Right.
As far as what those guys can do coming in and what guys you've got coming off of, you know, sit-out years like Shayok. And, I mean, it's the uncertainty, I'm sure, is a little bit unsettling for some people, but that's where excitement lies too. So really pleased to see those guys get those opportunities and what that might portend for Iowa State.
All right, two more things here on my list for today on the it's the Thursday rundown presented by Heartland Flags. Kyle Kemp ranked as the number 33 starting quarterback in the country entering the 2018 season by Athlon. You think that's about right? You think that's too high, too low?
I mean, I'd say that's about right. I mean, he is the consummate game manager, which Matt Campbell wants. He said repeatedly that he wants. I remember asking him about that, and some people try to shy away from that because they think it's you know, a knock on the talent level, and that's not at all the case. And I like that Campbell doesn't shy away from it because he understands that's just nonsense to think that if you are able to manage a game well, that you don't have the talent to make the key throw and all that. Kempt obviously has that skill set. You know, I think he wants to prove more. I mean, it's still just mind-blowing how he came from a guy that never – a guy you never expected to play at Iowa State at a major college level, and he comes in at Oklahoma and helps guide them to a victory, a landmark victory. And then 4-2 as a starter, and he's his like the best of them, he's his own worst critic and says, I don't think I did a good enough job. And, you know, when you consider what he did versus the expectations, that's, you know, that's kind of perplexing that he would say that just from the outside. Mm-hmm. But when you know that this guy's been this kind of competitor probably all the time and just hasn't had a chance to demonstrate what he can do, now he's got a chance center stage to do it. Excited to see where that could lead him. I mean, do you think that's about right? I mean, I suppose it could be a little bit higher because you got an influx of a lot of new quarterbacks throughout the country.
See, and that's what I was going to say. I feel like there's a lot more unknowns with quarterbacks than there is most years. You know, there's a lot of the blue bloods that are trying to replace their mm-hmm. quarterbacks. But there was one questionable thing about that list where I looked at it and they had Tua from Alabama as the number two starting quarterback, and it's like, okay, so this guy's the number two quarterback in the country, and we've seen him play half of a game. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, half the time, don't you think that these lists are basically team lists?
Yeah, not, I mean,
to some degree.
See, and I was like, I mean, I can see, you know, why you would do that. I know he's a talented kid, obviously.
Yeah.
But put him at number two in the country based on what we saw from him in half of the national championship game, when really we'd never seen anything from him before that. I mean, that's just it's a little reckless to me.
Well, it would be just as, I guess, sound reasoning-wise to make him like 70th.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hey, he was mostly great in this half game we saw, but that's all we've seen. Mm-hmm. You know, he might end up being one of the best quarterbacks
of all time.
Yeah. But what do we know about him now?
Right.
So, yeah. In fact, it might make even more sense to have put him middle of the pack or down a little bit. But I mean, I'd see what they're doing, and those lists are meant to generate that kind of discussion.
You're just asking to get cold taked when you put him at number two, and then he doesn't even start like the first game or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Gets beat out or so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jalen Hurts' dad doesn't have to go out and shop his services around.
Yeah.
All right, my last one. Matt Campbell jumped 31 spots from 61 to number 30 in the latest CBS Sports rankings.
It's egregious. He should be number one.
Should he? I didn't even look and see who was number one.
We're Cyclone Fanatic, man. Come on.
I didn't even look to see who ended up being number one. I stopped looking after the 50 to 26 or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a good spot. I mean, it's a nice jump. I mean,
what do you think about Tom Herman at 28?
I think it's nice that they're very close there. I'll put it that way.
I think it's I don't know what Tom Herman's done to
warrant that.
To warrant that.
Yeah. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the researchers that put in days,
the experts,
weeks
the
into
experts,
determining
yeah.
where these coaches should be slotted. I mean, Herman, the Mensa man, extremely intellectual guy, and very well thought of. You know, obviously, Urban Meyer brought him in for a reason. And Matt Campbell, very well thought of. I mean, I think we were talking before the podcast, and I'll reiterate it during it, that I think part of that jump, a big part of that jump is explained just by going to the Big 12. Once you get out of a MAC-type conference and go to one of the major conferences, that's going to jump you a little bit. Like, there's a threshold that you mm-hmm. don't really rise above if you're at but Akron, even from, Toledo, Buffalo versus Iowa State, Texas, Mississippi, whatever.
Even then, you know, he was obviously lower, comes from Toledo, he's obviously lower on the list. I don't know what he went from year one to year two, but he was in the 60s after, I think he was like the second lowest Power 5 coach. Jumped 31 spots from two to three.
Yeah, well, again, team success too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, which they will say wasn't success because they felt that they should have had a couple more wins for sure.
See, and I think that's where you talk about that. Tom Herman went from Houston to Texas, and I think that he was like 25 already.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, what? He was there for 2 years, 1 year with none of the people that he recruited. They have a really great year. And then in year two, they were supposed to be this team that was going to compete to go to the playoff, and they went like 8-5.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Why wasn't the uptick more?
Right.
Yeah.
If Tom Herman's pronounced. So great, why didn't, you know, mm-hmm. Why didn't this come to fruition?
I guess this is the year where that's supposed to happen, and maybe they're forecasting a little bit with the picks as well.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all I'll say about
it's
that.
Be, it's Tom gotta, Herman it's deal. He's got to get past Matt Campbell first.
Yeah, well, he's got to get past a lot of people. All right, man. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
If you haven't listened to Chris's podcast with Royce White yet, I strongly recommend it. We're going to have a lot of podcasts here in the next 2 days. Chris is recording a podcast, recording CFTVs with Jeff Woody this afternoon. It's going to be great.
Outstanding.
I think we're going to have a Saturday podcast at some point. It's going to be a lot of podcasts to listen to. So everybody keep refreshing their podcast feed, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks again to Heartland Flags, and thanks for listening.